TUC Radio, Time of Useful Consciousness. Reclaiming Our Future was the motto of the 10-year anniversary of 9/11 held in 2011 at the historic Herbst Theater. In part one of this program, you heard from Global Exchange Director Kevin Danaher. Now you will hear from Anodea Judith. Her book, Waking the Global Heart, Humanity's Rite of Passage, From the Love of Power to the Power of Love, was the winner of the 2007 Nautilus Book Award for Social Change. Carol Bruyer, organizer of the event, is introducing her.
I'm so honored and delighted to introduce our next speaker, who's also a friend of mine. Her name is Anodea Judith, and she's the founder and the director of Sacred Centers. She's a groundbreaking thinker, writer, and spiritual teacher. And her fervent wish is, of course, that the humanity wakes up in time. So she holds master's and doctoral degrees in psychology and human health. She's a 500-hour registered yoga teacher with a lifelong studies of healing, mythology, history, sociology, systems theory, and mystic spirituality. And I went to a conference in Colorado called the Storyfield Conference, and it was looking at changing the story from the story of empire to the story of life and community. And Anodea was there, as well as David Corton, who also wrote a book called The Great Turning. And they complement one another just beautifully, I think. David approaches it from the masculine side and Anodea from the feminine side, and I greatly appreciate her. Please welcome Anodea.
So I want to talk about where this leaves us all and where it takes us all. Because as I see it, humanity is at a rite of passage. And we're losing our innocence. We have sat here and we have listened to the facts. We have listened to the evidence. And we can't be innocent anymore. We can't be children anymore. And if we take the long evolutionary view and look at this from a macro perspective and say, what does this mean for us? What is it calling us to? What is it awakening in us to have a faith in a government that we find is faulty and full of corruption, as governments have been all over the world from time immemorial, although this kind of takes the cake? What does it mean to awaken to that reality at this particular time? At this particular time when our world hangs on a thread between potential annihilation and incredible promise. When we are on the verge of the greatest evolutionary leap that humanity has ever faced in the 4 billion years it took life to evolve to this point. Now, I see this as our adolescence, that we have been children born in the primal womb of nature, crawling across the land in our teeming toddlerhood, going through 5,000 years of sibling rivalry where we fought and we created empire, and all this time, even though empire occurred through violence and domination, larger and larger numbers of people were being brought together in cooperation. Now, the organizing principle that did that back when we were in our early childhood as a species, as a civilization, was done through a power over, through a top-down parental control. Now, parents of 3-year-olds and 5-year-olds need to take command. Because back then, we didn't know how to read or write. We didn't know about science. We didn't have technology. We didn't have the tools of power that are now coming down for the first time to the hands of the common people. So we were organized by top-down elite power structures. The power and the powerless, And that forged humanity into our first civilizations, for better or for worse. And we dominated and we expanded empire, and that became our model. And this is just a function of the outdated capacity of the empire model to forge coordination and cooperation. We have been growing up. We have learned to read and write. We have learned about science. We have developed technology so that we, most of us, are under our own steam. We can come and go where we want. We can call anywhere we want in the world. We can print our own bumper stickers and t-shirts and books and CDs. We can make our own films. We can call together a gathering. We can face the truth because we are finally becoming mature enough to face the truth, because for the first time, we are capable of taking the power into our own hands. This is a monumental point in history, to be growing up, and yet we are still only adolescents. We have been in a system where it's been Big Daddy. If we just elect the right president, then everything will happen right. If we just have the right authority, then we can relax and go back to sleep. And then we get somebody like Obama and we're disappointed again because it didn't work. It didn't change. Because the whole system has to change. But that change is a change from being children of an elite power authority to being the adults that co-create our reality, that co-create heaven on earth, that co-create into the next evolutionary principle, which I call the movement from the love of power, which is the powerless wanting more power, to the power of love, which is the power of cooperation more than competition, of networks more than markets, of stakeholders more than stockholders, of green more than greed, of holarchy more than hierarchy. This is a change in organizing principle for how we put ourselves together. And it is happening. It is happening all over the world. In the largest movement in the history of the planet and the largest movement on the planet today is the movement of people into non-governmental organizations that are taking care of what our government is not taking care of: the economy, the environment, peace, social justice, democracy, the study of consciousness. This is a people's movement, and it is happening, and we can coordinate through our computers, through our cell phones, through our beliefs in another way, and we are already doing this. This fall, this corruption, this deceit is part of our initiation as adolescents into our adulthood. The fall of the father, the adolescent who discovers his dad is a drunk and has to grow up and take control. This is part of our initiation to taking a new form, to creating it from the grassroots up, and we can do this. Corruption is the decay of a dying system. So what we need to put our energy into is, what are we creating in its place? If this were to be widely accepted across the world, the chaos that would ensue from that would be incredible. The chaos, the violence, the fall in the global economy. Are we prepared to pick up the reins in that chaos? Are we prepared? Is our new organizing principle mature enough yet to hold culture together while the old one collapses? And believe me, as fast as those towers collapse down to the earth, if this were to really get a hold of the collective, things would collapse just as fast. And we have to be ready. We have to be joined together. We have to be standing in our own principles and our own integrity. We have to be holding on to each other's hands. We have to know where we're going. In systems theory, the evolution of systems requires certain things. It requires that the elements, the agents of a system, you and me, the holons, first get to survive. Well, we've pretty much mastered that. then they get to procreate. They get to make more of themselves. We are the imaginal cells waking up to a new reality in the body of the butterfly, and we are procreating and we are spreading all over the world. So we've made more of ourselves. The next thing is each one needs its own power. The cells in the body need to be exactly what they are. The heart cell needs to be a heart cell, the bone cells, bone cells. We are gaining our autonomy and our power and our freedom. But once we get our freedom, we have to ask who we are and where we're going. We have to ask, what are we going to do with that? And we do not protect our freedoms by taking them away. We cannot fall for that line that, oh yes, we're protecting your freedoms, give us some more of them. We fought for these freedoms. These freedoms are so we can serve. So the next thing is the elements in a system need their own autonomy so they can act. And then the fourth thing is they need a sense of what is called self-transcendence. They need a sense of what they are becoming that is larger than themselves. And once we have that identity, we can begin to form it. Now, in evolution, it took 3 billion years of single-celled organisms being microbial mats that spread across the globe, living only as single cells. 3 billion years. And then one day, they decided to put themselves together. They decided to combine. They decided to cooperate, to work together, to have division of labor. And within 10 million years, we had the basics of multicellular creatures. And from that, we had the first simple fish and animals and birds and up to us humans. But it was very fast once they decided to put themselves together. Well, we have been in a culture where it's been every person for themselves. But once we discover what we are creating together, a world of the heart, a world where the money spent on the military, if it were put into healthcare and education and scientific research, could transform this globe. Lester Brown of the World Watch Institute says that pretty much all the problems of the world, global warming, world hunger, deforestation, soil depletion, could be addressed for about $200 billion. How much have we spent on the Iraq War? It costs us $1 million per soldier per year to keep a soldier in Afghanistan. What could we create when we do it differently? What could we create out of collaboration instead of competition? What can we create out of love rather than power? What can we create when we go for what we love, when we serve what we love? This is the next organizing principle. This is where we are going, and this deception is part of the evolutionary driver to get us there, that we no longer put our faith in outdated systems, but we have to grow up to do it. And we have to grow up by doing our own work. If 9/11 was an inside job, then that's a message that our work is also an inside job. It's inside our own selves, inside our own consciousness, inside our own families and relationships and neighborhoods and work areas. That's the inside job. From the inside out, we create something new, not from an authority telling us what to do. This movement on the planet into NGOs is not because anybody's telling people to do that. It's not because anyone's controlling it, anybody's managing it. People are doing it out of the love of their hearts, to serve and to save what matters, and to stand for the evolutionary trajectory that has taken us 4 billion years. It's taken 4 billion years for evolution to evolve enough consciousness that we could even be conscious of evolution. And in the 150 years since Darwin, to realize we can consciously evolve. That time is now. And the future that beckons us could be beyond our wildest imaginings. What if instead of building a wall between the U.S. and Mexico, that money were put into the Mexican infrastructure so people didn't want to leave Mexico to come here and work for substandard wages? What if the money we spent on bombing and sending soldiers were giving computers and education and healthcare to countries that needed it? This is something that benefits the whole organism. And what can be accomplished with that at the verge of technology that is mushrooming exponentially into possibilities we've barely dreamed of? At a time when we're just barely beginning to discover and explore the vast cosmos that we're part of. We are on the verge of our adulthood, and it's not time to commit adolescent suicide. It's time to work together as equals, to work together collaboratively, to work together from the heart as cohorts in a kingdom, not a kingdom run by a king. That's an old-fashioned model. Even when Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is on earth, kingdoms was all people knew. It was a ruler on top and then people. That's how we were organized. That's the old organizing principle. But the new one is a kingdom where everything is kin to everything else. And the web of life is what must be preserved at all costs, because that's our evolutionary matrix. This moment is too special, too precious, too important to waste. So I ask you, all of you, to join in this renaissance. It's been said that, you know, the Italian Renaissance, there's many things and many historians that have written about it, but one thing they said is that there was no money for the military anymore. The King of England defaulted on his loans, and giving people armor and weapons was getting too expensive. They didn't know where else to put their money. They put it into art. About 1,000 people started the Italian Renaissance and within 30 years made a transformation. We are the birthplace of a new way, and we are birthing it right here as imaginal cells. How many know the story of the imaginal cells and the butterfly? The butterfly begins as a caterpillar, a spineless worm that consumes 27,000 times its weight in its lifetime, bursting its skin several times. And when the caterpillar consumes everything, and what are we called in this culture? We're called consumers. When the caterpillar consumes everything and it's too bloated to move, it turns upside down. It loses some of its freedoms, the chrysalis forms. But when that happens, a miracle occurs. Tiny cells that biologists actually call imaginal cells spontaneously appear in the caterpillar body. And they vibrate to a different frequency. They have different behavior. They have different information. We are those imaginal cells that are waking up as individuals. What happens in the caterpillar's body is the immune system of the caterpillar sees these imaginal cells and attacks them because they're so different. Just as the status quo attacks us for our beliefs, for being wild conspiracy theorists, from, you know, being fringe members of society. But the imaginal cells continue to appear anyway, and in greater and greater numbers. And as they appear in greater numbers, they begin to recognize each other. They begin to band together. They begin to organize. And there's even something called organizer cells that starts to clump them together. And when that happens, the caterpillar's immune system is overwhelmed. It can no longer fight the imaginal cells. And it becomes a nutritious soup for the formation of the butterfly body. So when we get to this point where we are seeing each other as imaginal cells and no longer trying to prop up the caterpillar is dying. It will feed us in its death if we are creating something new, if we are recognizing each other from our imagination of what can we create? Can we create heaven on earth? We have the tools. We have the money. We have the technology. We have the spiritual technology. We just need the political will, and that is our will. That is the people's will. And when the butterfly is ready to be born, the chrysalis becomes transparent, which means all these secrets are revealed. Just as the internet makes things apparent, that government secrets and Enron and all this is becoming apparent, transparency. And then the butterfly is ready to emerge. And interestingly, it opens up a right wing and a left wing. But it is organized along its center. And the center of each of us is the connection between heaven and earth, the core of each one of us standing with our feet in the ground and our heads expanding into consciousness and our arms and our wings open to connect with each other. So I ask you right now to stand, to counteract the corruption with our own integrity, connected to the earth, connected to what you know is true, connected to the power inside you to speak the truth, connected to your emotions that feel the passion and the anger and the possibility and the hope and the love and the fear. We have to come up with a better way as this way tumbles down. We have to come into our hearts, into our imagination, seeing the wars end, seeing the money come back home, seeing restoration happen, seeing the money go where it needs to go, seeing the truth come out and the truth setting us free. And know that as you come into your heart, you're helping the world come into its heart and helping to awaken the global heart. Thank you. And since this is really coming from all of us, we're going to open the mic to questions and to comments and sharings and offerings. What are you offering? What is your... We're all making this solution together. It takes all of us.
Is there anyone who has a question or a comment? Yes.
Hi, I teach music with kindergarten, first, second, third graders in the school district here. And I'll be teaching babies for the first time at the Community Music Center. Now, babies and children have different filters from us, and they have more empathy in certain respects, and we can have a lot to learn from them, right? But we also have to teach them direct action at a very young age. Project-based learning is not enough. Service learning is not enough. We need models. Have you worked with teachers who are going, well, how do I start? You know, I've been in direct action in the streets before I was a teacher. So I have a lot of ideas, but I feel really alone. To provide models of how children can, as groups, form together and change cafeteria food, you know, playground issues, things on their level, but how do we support them in taking direct action every day, every year, every classroom?
We do set up models for our children, but I'll tell you one big thing that we can do is get the violence off TV. To say that it's more moral to see somebody shooting each other than to see a breast or to see people lovemaking is a twist of anything that makes sense. When we start to create a better way of dealing with our problems on a local level, on a community level, on a country level, on a global level, then we start making the models. But we have to demand that. You know, when we say, like, Obama doesn't have, you know, I keep saying I hope for audacity, but when he's not showing backbone, that's also a metaphor. Where are we not showing backbone? That's just a model for how we're, so many people are wimps. And we have to stand up. That's part of our maturity.
I love the metaphor you talked about at the last stage of system theory being that all these sort of creative bots or that emerge in a system have to become self-aware. And I thought the butterfly was a wonderful metaphor for that. Now, the butterfly does this because of DNA. It's imprinted in his fundamental being. What in our ecosystem of society and individuals and life, where do you see the emergence of that organizing intelligence? Do you think it's just going to be a matter of pure survival? Like, it's going to get so bad that you just got to get everything working together, otherwise, you know, the whole thing just won't work? Or do you think that there's a deeper level of intelligence at play that may be slowly emerging?
Well, Teilhard de Chardin, who's one of my heroes, talked about the omega point, a point in the future that is actually drawing us along the trajectory of evolution. And that if you look at evolution, it proceeds towards greater and greater amounts of cooperation. And self-interest is a natural barrier to cooperation. And so self-interest and cooperation are always doing this battle back and forth. But if you look at it, it's greater and greater levels of cooperation from, you know, the simple animals to more complex to us coordinating, you know, tribes and villages and city-states and countries, and now our task is to coordinate the whole planet. So I think that there is a future that is drawing us. Now, to your question, how will it happen? Will it happen because of sheer survival, that it gets so bad that we have to change? Yes. Will it happen because some of us wake up ahead of time and start thinking of a new way? Yes. Will it happen because, you know, some of us take action and make it happen for others? Yes. It will happen in all of those ways at once. And we have a choice. We have a choice. Do we want to get ahead of the curve and play the evolutionary game and put our heads to this task of the future, or do we want to wait till it becomes a matter of survival? You know, for many people in the world, it's going to. Water is going to become an incredibly scarce resource on this planet. Food is going to become a shortage, the shortage of oil. I mean, if you read the facts, there's all kinds of doom and gloom. But this is all part of the evolutionary drivers to wake us up. We are smart. We are really smart. We can do this, but we have to put our heads together. That is the nature of this particular challenge. It is forcing cooperation on a global scale.
That was Anudeya Judith, founder and director of Sacred Centers and author of the book Waking the Global Heart. She spoke at the 10-year anniversary of 9/11, held in 2011 at San Francisco's Herbst Theater. You can hear this program again on TUC Radio's website, tucradio.org. That's tucradio.org. Look under newest programs. TUC Radio has moved to Northern California. This program was produced off the grid with solar power. You can get information on how to order an audio CD with Kevin Danaher and Anudeya Judith by calling 1-707-463-2654. And I will repeat that number in a moment. TUC Radio is free to all radio stations and depends on the support of listeners like you. Your donation or CD order keeps this program on the air. Call anytime at 707-463-2654. For information on how to order, you can get your CD by mail or credit card by phone or online on TUC Radio's secure website, tucradio.org. My name is Maria Gilardin. Thank you for listening. Give us a call.